the age of 18, I was in a schools band in Liverpool, and we had the privilege of telling about 25,000 young people over the course of 2 years about how much God loved them. Then I was in a Christian girl band called TBC, doing gigs all over the UK and Europe, preaching the gospel, seeing people get saved, and living out part of that dream that I'd had as a 15, 16-year-old girl at Planet Life in Manchester. I did a couple of solo albums, wrote a few books, and during that time, fell in love with Tim. And actually yesterday, we've been married for 14 years now, and yesterday it was 15 years since Tim asked me to marry him. I was like, oh, that's very cute. And yes, Tim was that highly attractive, dodgy dressed man in the band playing the keyboard, just in case you want to ask me that later on. But then God asked me to lay all of those things that I was doing down, because he had something more important for me to do. And I was thinking, what could be possibly more important than telling people about Jesus? And the day before Mother's Day in 2010, we found out that we were expecting our first baby. And I realised after giving birth to our baby that being a mum was the greatest thing that God would ever ask me to do. That was the completion of healing for me from having anorexia. I'd lived with the words that had been spoken over me about how I probably wouldn't be able to have children, and God had literally smashed them to pieces. So that is a little bit of a praise God moment if you do that here. But our first son was born in November 2010, and then 19 months after that, number two came along. Then 19 months after that, number three came along. There's nothing significant about 19 months, don't worry. And we were just incredibly blessed. We had three beautiful little boys. I had a husband who loved me so much. But I was really struggling to cope. And after a few months of trying to hold it all together and trying to salvage my fading smile, a friend of mine put her arm around me and she just said, "Shell, postnatal depression is not what God wants for your life." And I just completely fell apart. I went on medication, my confidence disappeared, I cancelled the events that I was meant to be speaking at, and God took me and Tim and the boys on a journey. And he gave us a vision that kind of unfolded over about 2.5 to 3 years. But it began by me sailing this massive, intricately detailed wooden ship. And I was in the middle of this storm, holding on to the steering wheel for dear life. And Jesus was stood behind me, saying, "Let me steer the ship, Shell." And I was shouting, "No, it's fine, I can do it." And as the storm got stronger, Jesus said, "Let me steer the ship, Shell." And I shouted, "No, no, I can do it, I've got it." And then I realised that I couldn't do it. And I went below deck for a while with my family, feeling the effects of the waves around me, but not knowing which direction the ship was sailing in. I wanted to be sailing the ship, but God said, "No, you're right where I want you to be." And God taught me so much in that time about who I was, about who he was. He taught me about sacrifice. He taught me about trusting him more, about loving other people as well as myself, not loving other people instead of myself. And then 2 months after I came off my medication for postnatal depression, we found out that we were pregnant with our fourth baby. And I was like, "God, what are you doing?" And God said very clearly to me, "Your healing for postnatal depression will come through having another." And I couldn't see it. I was so frightened, I couldn't see it. But I thought it was going to be the easiest pregnancy ever, because God knew that I was not a lover of this plan. But I had the worst pregnancy out of all of them. And then at the 20-week scan, we found out that our baby boy was having kidney problems, that he had problems with his kidney that led to the rest of the pregnancy being really heavily monitored. And then he had to have operations a few weeks after he was born. And he's still not lived yet without daily medication. And in all of that, we were asking the question, "What are you doing, God? What are you doing, God?" But now I can see what God was doing. He was building character. He was taking us deeper. He was preparing us for what he knew was coming. He was making a way. He physically moved us from Warrington to Worcestershire. And none of that would have happened if we hadn't have learnt to endure that below deck season of our life. And now I am delighted and praise God to say that my sparkle is back, that depression has gone. There are signs of healing for our little boy. And I'm just kind of here saying, God, here I am, send me. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of background and helps you to get to know me a little bit. But I'd like us to look at the life of Ezekiel this morning for a little bit. So if you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn to Ezekiel 1, verse 1? We're going to kind of race through the first little bit until we get to chapter 37. But I just want to paint the picture of Ezekiel's life and kind of who he is and where he started out. So Ezekiel 1, verse 1 says this: On July the 31st of my 30th year, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel had the most incredible detailed visions from God. And chapter 1 of Ezekiel provides this amazing imagery for the visions that Ezekiel saw. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, Ezekiel hears these words: Stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. Now, just for a moment, I want you to imagine what it must have been like for Ezekiel at that time. Stand up, son of man. I want to speak with you. God continues to speak to Ezekiel, places a call on his life, and commissions him to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. But I just want to stop the story there for a little bit, because there's something that I want us to pick up there this morning. Throughout the book of Ezekiel, God refers to Ezekiel as son of man 93 times. And for those of you who have read the Bible for many years, you'll know that when God says something so often, he's clearly wanting to say something. He says, son of man, stand up. Son of man, go to the nation of Israel. Son of man, do not fear. Son of man, listen. But this isn't the same son of man that Jesus is called in the New Testament. This son of man is God grounding Ezekiel and instilling humility. It's as if God is saying, yes, Ezekiel, you're a prophet who sees magnificent visions and performs miracles, and I am working in you and through you in amazing ways. But I need you to remember that you are a human being. God was constantly reminding Ezekiel of his humanness so that he wouldn't be subject to the pride that could emerge from being used by God in such a powerful way. And as a side note, more often than not, before God sends us out and causes us to operate in our gifting, he'll lead us through a time of character building where he strengthens our identity in him. Why? Because one of the most dangerous things that can happen and one of the enemy's most effective strategies is for our gifting to take us where our character cannot keep us. Let me just say that one more time. That one of Satan's most effective strategies is for our gifting to take us where our character cannot keep us. Let's not fall into the trap of allowing our gifting to take us where our characters can't keep us. Let's take responsibility and do whatever it takes to make sure that we are growing deeper in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. Because then what we do for Christ will be centered and grounded on who we are in Christ. So let's go back to Ezekiel. The next 30 chapters or so are about the judgment and condemnation of Israel and the nations. And then towards the end of chapter 34, hope begins to appear. God states what he's going to do. He speaks of the restoration and the salvation that is on the horizon for the people of Israel. And he uses a similar phrase over and over again. So Ezekiel 35 in verse 4, 9 and 14 says, Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then Ezekiel 36, 38 says, And everyone will know that I am the Lord. God is clearly wanting to display his greatness and his power. He's wanting to stamp his authority and show the world what he can do. And then we get to Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. Stick your hand up if you've heard of that before. I'm sure many of you have. This is something that I've read over and over since summer last year. And every time I read it, it just stirs something up in me. I often speak to Tim and he laughs when I say it, but about my Holy Spirit belly. You know, that kind of like deep, kind of shaky, oh, God's doing something kind of thing. When God's stirring something up inside you. So let's read it together this morning. We're going to start at verse 1, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The Lord laid his hand on me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord to the middle of a valley that was filled with bones. He led me here and there throughout the valley, and I was amazed to see that the surface of the entire valley was covered with myriads of very dry bones. The Lord asked me, "Son of man, will these bones ever live?" "Lord God," I replied, "you know the answer to that." Then the Lord told me, "Prophesy to these bones. Tell them, you dry bones, listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to you dry bones. Pay attention. I'm bringing my spirit into you right now, and you're going to live. I'm going to grow tendons on you, regenerate your flesh, cover you with skin, and make you breathe again so that you can come back to life and learn that I am the Lord." So I prophesied just as I had been ordered to do so. Immediately there was a noise and a rattling. And then all of a sudden the bones came together by themselves. Each bone came together, all of them attached together. As I continued to watch, I saw tendons growing on the bones and muscles growing and covering them. And then skin covered the flesh from above. But the bodies weren't breathing. Then he ordered me, "Prophesy to the spirit, son of man. Tell the spirit, this is what the Lord God says. Come from the four winds, you spirit, and breathe into these people who have been killed so they will live." So I prophesied as I had been ordered. Breath entered them and they began to live. They stood on their own feet as a vast, united army. I once heard a church leader say something along these lines. You know when the kingdom of heaven touches earth, because in that moment you stand in awe of what's happening and say, "Wow." And I love that. When my kids do something and I'm like, "Wow." When something happens in church where God stirs something up, "Wow." And maybe that's just a little glimpse of heaven touching earth. But this was one of those moments for Ezekiel. There are so many messages that can be pulled out from that passage of scripture, but there's one thing that I feel compelled to share with you this morning that stood out to me and continues to stand out to me in a fresh and revolutionary way. And it's this: God invites Ezekiel to be part of the miracle. It's a God-given vision, and Ezekiel is being invited by God in this vision to be part of the miracle. We live in a self-sufficient world. Dependency on others is often frowned on, but I don't believe that that's how God designed it to be. So often we look to anything or anyone but God. We have a problem, so we try and fix it. Something breaks, so we get a new one. And it's true for electrical appliances. It's true for church families. It's true for marriages. We've learned to do pretty much anything by our own ability and in our own strength and without the need for God. But there's one thing that we can't do. We can't give life. We can't give life. As women, we can give birth to our babies, but the life inside of that baby is from God. We can encourage a person to commit their lives to Jesus and receive new life, but that new life is a gift from God. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I've come to give life, life in all its fullness." And you know, we can try and give ourselves life by filling it with stuff that we think is going to make us happy or bring satisfaction. We can try and build our lives. We can try to enhance our lives. We can try to improve or change our lives. But in the truest sense and definition of the word, we cannot give life. Only God can do that. And in Ezekiel's vision, the Spirit of God takes Ezekiel into the middle of this valley of dry bones. It's not a mountaintop experience. It's a barren valley of death. And in that valley, Ezekiel is witness to God doing what only God can do, making dry bones come back to life. And not only is Ezekiel witnessing it, but he's invited to be part of it. He's not a bystander. He's not a spectator. God invites him to be part of a miracle happening before his eyes. And I read this passage and I think to myself, but God didn't need Ezekiel to tell the bones to come together. God didn't need Ezekiel to tell the Spirit to breathe life into these bodies, because God is more than capable of doing it by himself. But God didn't want to do it by himself. He doesn't want to show Ezekiel how independent he can be. God wants to display his power through Ezekiel. He wants to show Ezekiel what it is to be interdependent, what it is to do it together, what it is for Ezekiel to make himself available and step out and then for God to do the rest. There's so many stories in the Bible of ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We could list them all morning, probably. And I just think, well, come on, there must have been something special. There must have been something, some reason that God chose to use them. And I guess they did have something in common. They had a heart that was totally committed to God. And one of my favourite Bible verses is in 2 Chronicles 16, where it says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." That is what God's looking for. People who are fully committed to him. People who will faithfully obey him. People who will risk it all for the sake of following Jesus. Why on earth would Jesus' parting words to his disciples and to us after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven be, "Go and make disciples to all nations"? If he didn't want us to be part of his rescue plan for the world, why would he call it the Great Commission if he didn't want us to take it seriously? And not just some of us, but all of us. And why, straight after that verse, does Jesus say, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age"? Because he knew then, and he knows now, that it is going to cost everything. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be comfortable. We're not always going to feel like doing it. Who wakes up every morning and goes, "I feel like telling somebody about Jesus today"? But it's what God invites us to be part of. Here's a question for you. Man, this challenges me beyond belief. Do you think Ezekiel stayed the same after God had spoken to him through the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones? Do you think Ezekiel said, "Oh, that was a lovely dream"? I know that me and Tim didn't stay the same when God had given us that vision of the ship and us being below deck and that, how it unfolded over that 2.5 years. Because when God breathes life, things change. When God breathes life, communities and towns and cities and nations change. When God breathes life, heaven touches earth, and we cannot and must not stay the same. There's a verse that I've been reading over the last probably couple of months now, and it's from John 14 verse 12, and it says, "The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father." So let me ask a question this morning. Stick your hand up if you believe in Jesus. Okay, that's a lot of us. So it says here that anyone who believes in Jesus would do the same works he's done and even greater works. Who here believes that you can do the same works that Jesus has done and even greater works? Not quite as many of you. That's really challenged me, you know. That's what it says. And then it says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. So if we're in line with what God is doing and with where he wants us to be and we believe in Jesus, we can do the same and greater things than Jesus for the glory of God. Do we believe it, church? Do we want to see it?
Yes.
Are we going to make ourselves available and step out? I'm loving the enthusiasm. Maybe some of you have been really challenged by what I've said this morning. Maybe it's struck a chord in you and you can feel God stirring something up in you, that Holy Spirit belly rumbling. Maybe you've struggled with some of the things that I've struggled with. Or maybe you just sat there saying, God, here I am. Send me. Use me. And if that's you during the last song, it'd be great if you want to come to the front and Matt or Joe or somebody from the leadership team will pray with you and maybe cement some of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart this morning. But I want to finish this morning by bringing it back to Alive Worcestershire. I believe that God is wanting to show Worcestershire and beyond that he is the Lord. I believe that God wants to breathe new life into people and places across our nation. I love your tagline as a church, breathing life, building communities. And I believe that we're going to see lost people found. I believe that we're going to see revival breaking out. It excites me when I speak to leaders across the country who are all kind of feeling this thing that God's up to something, that he's moving, that we're not quite sure, but the amount of visions and prophetic words that I've had, that other people have had about a tidal wave, about waves of God's Spirit. That song that we sang before, Come Alive, a tidal wave is coming. Yeah. And you know, I believe that God's inviting us to be part of it. He's inviting us to be part of the miracle. Of course God can do it on his own, but I believe that he desires for us to do it together. Mankind in partnership with God, just how he originally designed it to be. And you know, when God first gave me the idea of Alive, I was so scared and confused, and I was kind of saying, God, what on earth would you ask me to do this? And God just said to me, you do what I've asked you to do, I'll do the rest, and one day you'll see why I've asked you to do it. I'm like, all right. And like I said before, I'm under no false illusion that I can do this on my own. I've been part of events for a long, long, long time, since I was 18. And I know that it's not possible to pull something off like this on your own. And that's why over the last 11 months, I've met with anyone I can to build momentum, get people on board and say, hey, let's do this together. We've set up a charity called Imagine Ministries that is the home of Alive Worcestershire and any other Alive events that we set up, so that there's a strong foundational structure for God to build what he has in mind to build. And this morning, I'm asking you to join our family of supporters so that together we can see children and families coming to know Jesus and growing in their faith. And I'm asking the question, will you get involved with this crazy ministry? Because that is what it is, let me tell you. I've been involved in lots of things over the years, and I can honestly say two things. One, is that I've never seen God open doors in the way that he is doing at the moment. And two, I have never ever had to rely on God's strength more than I am having to at the moment. There's been so many things that I've done where, do you know what? I've got the ability to be able to do it on a daily basis at the moment. I'm saying, I can't do this, God. But every day, every week, God is just providing people and things and ways of showing me that this is what I want you to do, Shell. Keep going, keep going. So there are three ways that you can get involved this morning. The first one is practically. So we need people to sign up to be part of the setup team, to be part of the pack down team, to be on the steward team and the prayer team. So if you can practically help in that way, then there's a table out where we have cups of tea and coffee. Please sign up, tick one of the boxes as to which team you could be on and practically help make it happen. There's also a load of flyers, again, that you've got on your seats and some posters as well. It would be great if you could take a batch of those and hand them out to families in your neighbourhood, families at school, families in your community, and just invite and encourage as many people as possible and get them to buy their tickets and come along to the very first one. The second thing is prayer. So I cannot tell you how much we need people committing to pray for us on a regular basis. I can honestly say, and Tim will vouch in this, that we have never experienced spiritual attack in the way that we have done over the last 6 months. And, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize it or give the enemy more credit than he's due. Yeah. But at the same time, we're in a battle. Yeah. And we're really aware of that at the moment. And God has provided in so many ways. I cannot, honestly, I could stand here all morning and tell you about the ways that he's provided. But it is hard and it is tough. And we need to see breakthrough. Do you know, I wrote a song a few months ago that said, revival starts with me, and I won't see revival if I'm not on my knees. And that is the truth. We're not going to see revival if we're not on our knees praying for our city, praying for our nation. So please sign up to pray for Imagine Ministries this morning. And the third thing is you can help by becoming a financial partner. The reality is that a live event in Worcestershire will cost about £11,000 per event. That's £33,000 a year just to make a live Worcestershire happen. And then there's all the other lives in different places across the country. So on your seat, you will see one of these forms. If you can just wave it for me, if you've got one, it's a little purple and blue form that says Imagine Ministries. And it tells you, if you open it up, about the vision of Alive, really succinctly, I hope, and the vision of Imagine Ministries. And then inside here, there's a standing order form and a gift aid form. If you'd like to partner with us financially today, just fill in that standing order form here, tick one of the boxes, and give something a month. You can choose to keep it going for as long or as short as you want to. But one thing I would ask is, please don't give a penny more or a penny less than what God is asking you to give. So just fill in all those details there. If you're eligible to make it gift aidable, then fill in the gift aid form as well, because that means that we get 25p back from the government for every pound that you give, which obviously makes a big difference as well. Fill that in, and then I'll be on the table in there. Well, I won't be on the table. I'll be by the table in there. And if this morning you can hand it in, that would be amazing. Tim, can you bring that bag up for me, please? You can stand here and be my... Or do you not want to? You want to sit down? if this morning you'd like to sign up to be a financial partner, we'd love to give you something as well, because we recognise that it's a two-way thing. You know, I don't want to ever be the kind of organisation that is always asking, 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 and you're feeling like you're not really getting anything from it as well. So we've put together these partner packs, and inside here we've got a book called Knowing God by J. John. J. John, I'm allowed to say, aren't I? Is actually going to be speaking at Thy Kingdom Come this year, which is very exciting. And he wrote this book, which is the gospel for children, basically, in a storybook. It's absolutely beautiful. So there's that in there. There's a Bible from Compassion, who are supporting the event as well, that you can either keep for yourself or give away to somebody who needs one. There is a Jelly Beans DVD, which is a children's and family worship band with 8 brand new worship songs on for children with on-screen lyrics and actions. So yeah, my kids love that one. And then there's also a copy of my autobiography called Made to Be Me, which is about my story of having an eating disorder and how God got me through it. So again, you can read that for yourself, or you can give it away to somebody who you think that might encourage. But yeah, we'd love to give you one of those this morning, just as a way of saying thank you, of marking the day when we became partners, but of resourcing you and your family as well. You know, I firmly believe that together we can be part of God breathing life into children and families across Worcestershire. That's what it's all about for me. You know, if there's one of those resources this morning that you think, do you know what, I can't sign up to give, but I'd really love one of those to give away to somebody, please take one. Because this isn't about gaining stuff for us. We want to be generous as well. And so please take one if you feel that, you know, there's something there that you could pass to somebody that it would be of use to, or it would be of use for yourself or your family. It's about being in it together. It's about having each other's back. It's about doing what it is that God's called us to do and leaving God to do the rest. And I cannot tell you what it is inside me where I just feel like something is happening. And, you know, when we first moved here, slightly going off script a little bit now, I'll be 30 seconds. But when we first moved here, the word that God gave me was epicenter. And I really feel like Worcestershire is a bit of an epicenter. And you, that might resonate with you, that might not resonate with you, but I feel it. I feel like Worcestershire is this epicenter for this move of God that is going to take place across our nation. And I just want to be part of that. And I'm sure there's lots of you in here that want to be part of that too.